Today's Shi'ur is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah Chaim Beis Abad. If we have a situation, we have a place where they press olives to make oil, Shubani Besela, that was built in a rock that's in a mountain, and a person built there his oil press, and on top of the rock, the Gina Achas Agabov, and there's a garden on top of it. And the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, that what happened here is that the wine press belongs to one person, and the garden on top belongs to another person. Other Rishonim explain that it's speaking about a landlord and a tenant. And what happened was, we have this garden on top of this oil press in the stone. The nifchas, and this roof collapsed, and there's no room now for the person who had his garden over there to be able to continuing to plant. So the person who had this garden on top could plant on the bottom. Achiyasa, until the person who owns the wine press will construct the base bada keeping, will make a roof on the top. This is very similar to the Gemara that we've been learning in our previous year, where you have a two-floor house and one floor collapsed, the upper floor collapsed, and the bottom floor collapsed, and what are the obligations? The Rishonim point out that when we learned that sugya, the question that came up was if the person on top and the person on bottom refused to fix what he was supposed to fix, and now after he didn't fix what he's supposed to fix, the upper person moved down, and then when he decides to fix, the Gemara said there was a question of ribbis. Why is there no question of ribbis? So here the Mishnah doesn't speak about ribbis, because it's much less obvious when I live in a home rent-free, so it looks like ribbis. Here, it doesn't look that much like ribbis, and since, as we learned in the previous year, it's not actually a situation of a halva, it's not actually a situation of a loan, that's why the Mishnah wasn't focused on ribbis. Says the Mishnah, Kosova Ilan, if you have a wall or a tree, Shnafalur Shusarabim, that fell into the Shusarabim, for his Ziku, and they do damage, Potam El Shalim, the owner of that wall is Potter, because he's considered an oinus. And as all the Rishonim explain, we're here referring to a situation where he built the wall properly. Since he built the wall properly, he didn't do anything wrong. It was beyond his control. And therefore, he's not going to be held responsible if something happens. But indeed, if what happened here was that the wall was not built properly, and then Chas V'Sham falls and does damage, then the halacha will be that he's chayiv. Not only is he chayiv, but as we learned in Masechta Bava Kama on Daf Chav Tes, the halacha will be that he's going to be responsible for any damage that was done as the wall fell. He's going to be responsible for damage after the wall fell, the parts of the wall that are under Rishus Rabim. And even more than that, we learned over in the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama that if somebody was mafker the stones that fell, and he says, I don't own those stones anymore, and therefore I should not be held responsible for any damage that they do. We learned in the halacha, in the Masechta Bava Kama, that most opinions are that you'll be still chayiv. There are those opinions that suggest that if the stones fell into Rishus Rabim and you were mafka them as they fell into Rishus Rabim, then you could be mafka them and no longer be responsible for any damage that those stones create. However, Nosnoi Zman, if Bezdin saw, the authority saw, that this wall is in danger of falling, and Nosnoi Zman, and they gave him a deadline, by which lakut tzeilin, to cut down the tree, list as a kaisel, to demolish the wall, the naflu b'teichas man, and they fall before the time, the deadline came, potter. But if they fall lachas man, if they fall after the deadline, it's chayiv. And the Rishonim point out that even if it's determined that Beis Din made a mistake and that they gave him too much time, to the deadline was too late, still, since he was an oinus, he was following the deadline, the halacha is that he's not going to be held responsible. Moreover, the halacha is that if Beis Din sees it's going to fall and he doesn't follow the instructions of Beis Din, the Rishonim say, the Ramach says, that Beis Din has a right to hire workers and that those workers will work at his expense to demolish the wall. If somebody's wall was next to somebody else's garden, v'nafal, and the wall fell into the garden, v'amalai, and the owner of the garden tells the owner of the wall, p'nei avanecha, take away your stone. And the Sma says, why did our Mishnah say that there was a garden next to the wall? Because usually when you have a wall between two areas, both partners who own the two areas participate in building the wall. But when it's a wall around the garden, there it's more likely that one of the people owned the wall and not the other. And therefore here he says to him, Pnei avinecha, take your stones out of my garden. And Amaloi, and the owner of the wall, says, Hegiyocha, I'm not interested in taking away the stone. Rather, you can have the stones. And the owner of the garden is not interested in those stones. Ain't Shem Maloi, then the halach is the owner of the wall can't force the owner of the garden to take those stones. However, Mishakibal Alof, what happens if the owner of the garden said, okay, I'll take those stones, Vamaloi, and then after he did what he was supposed to do, he started, and the way the Shita says, it doesn't even mean that he cleared all the stones. He just started clearing some of the stones. And at that point, for Amaloi, the owner of the wall, the owner of the stone says, Helchas Yitzhascha, I'll pay you for what it cost you to clear the stones. Vani etel, and I'll take Eshali, I'll take these stones. Once he made the agreement that the owner of the garden is going to take the stone, and he will, and that's the way he'll be off the hook, ain't Shemalai, he can't change his mind. Continues the Mishnah. Somebody hires a worker to work for him, but Tevin Bakash, to collect Tevin Akash, Vamaloi, and he tells, and then the employer tells him, Tell Masha Sisa Bischarecha, take what you worked with as your salary. Ain't Shemaloi. The halach is that we don't listen. Mishakibal alof, but once the worker and the owner is going to have to pay him, kesef. However, Mishakibal alof, if the worker said, fine, and then Imaloi, Helech Scharcha, Vani Etashali, and then after he took all of the straw, the owner changed his mind, and Shemaloi, he can't, at this point, he can't change his mind. So the halacha is, our Mishnah is teaching us, that you cannot force a worker to take tevin v'kash, to take straw as a form of payment. So the Rash explains that what is our Mishnah teaching us? That our Mishnah is teaching us that the only acceptable method of paying an employee is with cash. The Mordechai disagrees. And he says, our Mishnah is teaching us that you cannot be a worker cannot be forced to accept straw as a method of payment. But he says, since we have a rule throughout Shas that shove a kesef ke kesef, something that has value has the same din as mammon. You don't have to pay him necessarily cash. You could pay him something that's more valuable. So the Rishonim and Achronim try to understand why indeed can you not pay with tevin v'kash? Isn't there a halacha of shava kesef k'kesef? So Rashi explains that since we learned earlier in our Masechta that the halacha, we spoke extensively about the halacha in the Torah, l'salam pulasachar itcha abayker, that means if you pay, if you agree to pay your workers in a certain method, the halacha is you have to pay him in that method. And if the minhag of Medina is that workers obviously normally get paid with money, that's what you're obligated to do. The Rashba disagrees. He says it's not based on that pasuk. The Rashba says that the worker wants to get paid in a method that he could be able to have what money to do what he needs. Tevin and cash were not easily sold, so that defeats the purpose, and therefore Kevin cash cannot be used. Other things which are easily transferred into cash can be used to pay. Says according to this understanding, according to Rashi, you could only pay with cash, whereas according to the Rashba, or cash or a check, obviously, but according to the Rashba, you don't necessarily have to pay with money, but you do have to pay with something that can be easily transferred into the money. So there's an interesting discussion that the Pesach Choshen has based on this machlokes. We learned earlier in our Masechta Daf Kof Yud that only when the employer directly hires the employee is there a halacha of loisolin. But if somebody was hired through a shliach, then there is no halacha of loisolin. So what's going to be the halacha if an employee was not hired directly by the employer? He was hired through a shliach. So according to Rashi, the halacha of tevin and cash is a halacha of loisolin. If according to Rashi that's a halacha that's connected to loisolin, so as we just said and we learned, that there is no loisolin when you hire a worker through a shliach. So if you hired a worker through a shliach, according to Rashi, you would be allowed to pay him with tevin v'kash. Whereas, according to the Rashba, that the reason you're not supposed to pay the worker with tevin v'kash is because we have to pay him in a way that he could get his salary easily accessible. So it's not connected to the halacha of loisolin, the proof being that you don't have to pay cash according to Rashba. You just have to pay him in a method that he could easily collect the salary. So according to Rashba, even if you hired your worker through a shliach, you would not be allowed to pay him tevin v'kash, because this halacha is not related to the halacha about tolin at all. Says the Gemara, Nifchaso, we learned in the Mishnah that if the garden on top of the oil press got demolished, we had the halacha, if the person on the bottom didn't fix it, then the halacha is he could go down to plant his garden. So the question is, what is the definition of nifchasa? Rav Amar Berubai, if most of the garden was demolished, Shmuel Amar, even if just arba tefachim. Rav Amar Berubai, Rav says that it has to be most of the garden was demolished. Avo ba'arba, if it was only about four tefachim, what could happen here is that the person could be told, Adam Zarei Chatzilamat v'chatzilamala, you could plant upstairs and downstairs, and you don't have a right to say, I want to plant everything in one place. V'shru Omer, so only if mostly it's demolished, and now I don't have opportunity to use the place on top, then, only then, can you move it down. V'shmul Omer, Arba, En Adam Zarei Chetzilamat v'chetzilamala. Once you lose Dalat Tfachim on top, you're going to come down. And since you're going to have to come down, if a person could say, well, I don't want to have to go up and down. So I saw that the Shita quotes Rabbeinu Yonason, who says that that's only in a case where it's a field that needs constant care. So since it's a field that needs constant care, he could say, I don't want to have to go up and down as I'm constantly watering the field. But if it's a field, he says, that is not watered on a regular basis, it's only the certain types of fields, he suggests, that are only watered a number of times a year. In such a field, he says, the halacha would be that even Shmuel would agree that you could be told, do some on top and some on bottom. So ask the Gemara, we had the similar machloikis of Rav and Shmuel and Dav Kuf Tassayin on a base regarding what we mentioned earlier in our shir, when the upper floor of the two-story home got affected, how much of it had to get ruined that you should be able to move downstairs. Again, Shmuel said four tefachim, and Rav said nifchsa beruba. So the question is, asked the Gemara, why do we have to have the same achloikas twice? Answers the Gemara, dishmin and dira, b'hakam Shmuel, b'shem deloy oven inish the dire purta hacha. People don't live in two different apartments. And that's why, if there's enough that you shouldn't be, that you should have a right to move down even partially, then you have a right to move down completely that way. Avelin Yisriya, says the Gemara, maybe Shmuel would agree, that Avdi Inchi Dezara Hakaporta Vakaporta, that people plant in different places. And therefore, maybe in this situation, Moidele Larav. Vietnam Bahach, it says the Gemara, if we only had the Machlaikas in our Gemara, we would think Bahach Kamarav. This is where Rav says that it's not a problem. Plant partially on top and partially on bottom. Aval Baha, in this case, where it's talking about that the Aval Baha, in the case of the living, Ema Meidel Shmuel, that nobody wants to have to live in two different places. That's why, to teach us, we have the Machlokes in both places. Nosnoi, so the Mishnah spoke about the wall of the tree that was falling, and Bezdin told him correct it. Nosloi Zman, they gave him time to fix the wall. Kama Zman Bezdin, how much time does Bezdin usually give? Amar Rav Yochanan, they give Shloshim Yoim. So we see from here, says Taisvis, that the halacha is that we always give that the typical amount of time that's allotted is always 30 days. Of course, the Ramach says that if Bezdin sees that this is a situation that you can't wait 30 days, then of course Bezdin is not obligated to always have to give you 30 days. But if it's something that it's a clear and imminent danger, then the halach is Bezdin could give even less days. Moreover, that says the Ran, that when we spent so much time learning Masechet Baba Kama, and we spoke about that if somebody injures somebody else, the halach is that you give that he has to pay. There he says there's no halach of 30 days. The halach is that if you did an injury and you have to pay, you should have to pay 30 days. I saw that the Pnei Menachem says that this concept that the Gemara is saying that Bezdin gives 30 days is not only in Bezdin that we're talking about, the Bezdin in this world. In Bezdin Shalmala, they also give 30 days. He explains that's what Chodesh Elul is all about. Chodesh Elul is here for 30 days to prepare ourselves to Hasra before Rosh Hashanah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Misha Yekosloi, somebody whose wall fell down, and they first, he said, I do, he says to him that take the wall as payment. The halacha is that the owner of the garden could say, Ein Shemla, I'm not interested. Says the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Sefer. Says the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Hail Chitziyoscha. We're talking where when he changed his mind, and the owner of the wall says to him, Hail Chitziyoscha, Mechlal de Peneuskinen. Our Mishnah speaking about a case where the wall was already removed. Because if there's a discussion here, how will I, the owner of the wall, reimburse the person who cleared the wall? He obviously had cleared it already. Tama de Peninu. So we see that the discussion is, did he clear the wall? and by clearing the wall, he took ownership of the stones. Haloi peninim, had he not yet cleared them, loy, he wouldn't be considered the owner of the stones. Amai, but ask the Gemara, why is that halacha? Why shouldn't halacha be, particularly sodeyu, that his field should take grant him ownership of these stones? For haven't we learned what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina taught us? Chatzeru shaladim kainaloi, afilu shloimedatoi. So even if a case where he did, it just become automatically here. So Tosfos asks that we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph the Chatzeru shaladim kainaloi. So why did the Gemara have to bring Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina to prove us this point? So Tosfos answers that that Mishnah is speaking about a case where the person is standing there. And when the person is standing there, the Mishnah taught us, Chatzeru shel adam kainaloi. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us from Rabbi Yosef Chanina that even if he's not standing there, Chatzeru shel adam kainaloi. So why did he have to clear it? Why did he have to clear it to become the owner of them? Answers the Gemara, Hani mili, when is the halacha chatzeru shel adam kainaloi? Heichad kama kaven l'knuiloi. When he wants that his field should take ownership for him. Aval hocha, in our Mishnah, it's just the opposite. Ishtamutahu d'kam ishtamut minei. He doesn't want the stones. So therefore, it doesn't become automatically his. We learned in the Mishnah, hasoich lasas imay b'tevin. We spoke about the person who was hired to work with straw, and we spoke about can he be forced to pay or not. V'tzricha. And the Mishnah had to teach us the question both by the wall and by the employee. Why was it necessary to say both cases? Says the Gemara. The Yashmin al Hakamesa, if we only learned the case by the wall, ki amalei hegiyucha, that the owner of the wall tells the owner of the field, take the stones, and shaymalei. Then we can't say that. Why? Shum delesle agregabe. The owner of the wall doesn't owe anything to the owner of the field. And therefore, he can't make him take something that he doesn't even owe him. Avaloch de isle agregabe. In the case of the worker, where he owes the worker wages, amish shaymalai, maybe he could force the worker to take wages with Tevinakash, the Amri Inchi, as people say, Memori Rishavske Pari Afra, if somebody owes you money, take whatever you could get for payment. Vyashmina Hocha, if we only had the case by the worker, Hocha Shemakabulov, where he agreed, and now he agreed, and now the employer wants to back out, ain't Shemaloi. We don't listen to what he said. Bishum de Islay Agrigabe. He owed him the salary, and as soon as he agreed, the deal is consummated. Avalocha de Islay Agrigabe. In the case of the wall, where he doesn't really owe him anything, Ema, that if he changes his mind, Shaymanloi, he should have a right to back out. Tzricha, that once there was an agreement, he can't back out. So the Mishnah taught us that if he said that I'm agreeing to take Tevin Vakash, the worker agreed to take Tevin Vakash, and then the employer wants to back out, the loch is ain't Shemaloi. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, have we not learned in the Braisa that Shemaloi, that he could take him, in other words, could he force him to take Tevin Vakash? The Mishnah says you can't force him, the Braisa says you can. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Kasha, the way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa, that the Mishnah is talking about Bishaloi, that he's paying him with the Kevin Vakash that belongs to the employer. Can that the Braisa that says that he can't force him to take it, when I asked you to work on somebody else's field. And since I asked you to work on somebody else's field, I could pay you even with Tevin Vakash. Amalei Rav Nachman. Ask the Gemara, why is the halacha that when I ask you to work on my field, I can't pay you Tevin Vakash? Damalei, because the worker could say to the employer, Agra Aloch, that you owe me salary, and you can't use Tevin Vakash to pay my salary. So if that's the case, If I hired you to work b'shul chaveroi, to work on somebody else's property, na mischar alav. The halacha still is that I who instructed you to work there have the responsibility to pay you. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, hasoichas apoy lasel b'shuloi, if I hired to work, a worker to work on my property, v'rei b'shul chaveroi, and then he went and worked on somebody else's property, I have to pay your full salary. The night of Malbayis, and then we discussed what recourse do I have to go back to the person who I benefited. The night of Malbayis, Mashahen Eloi. So, but I have the same responsibility. If I was the one that gave the worker the instruction, the responsibility doesn't change where he was working. Elam Rav Nachman Lekasha. Kam B'Shaloi, when he was working a mine, that I have to pay him, and I cannot pay him with Tevim V'Kash. Kam B'Shal Hefker, but if he was working in Hefker, I could pay him with Tevim V'Kash. Esrei, Rava L'Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, the Braisa teaches us, Metzias Poyel Atzmai, that if a worker, as he's working in the field, finds something, he could keep it for himself. Says the Braisa, Emesai, B'Zman Sh'omaloi Balabayis, When the employer told him, "Nacheshi mi hayoyim, take out the weeds for me today. Adar mei yoyim, shovel the field." So he's obligated to do that job. Anything else, like picking up the metzia, is not something that he's obligated to me. But since he's not obligated to me, he could keep it for himself. But if the way I hired him was, Amalai, Asemi Malacha Yoim. I hired him for the day. Whatever needs to be done, he should do. So then his time belongs to me. Since his time belongs to me, Mitziyosla Balabayas. So if that's the case, if I told the worker to work on Hefker, his time belongs to me. And I'm obligated to pay him whether he works on my field or whether he works on the Hefker field. And why should therefore there be a difference how I could pay him? Emma, Olam Rav Nachman Lekasha. How do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? Can that the Mishnah said that you have to pay him? It is a case bagbo, where I hired him to work with the Tevin and Kash of Hefker, and therefore, as soon as he picks it up, it becomes mine, and therefore I have to pay the worker what I owe him. Can the Braisa is speaking about Babota, where there was no hagbah. He just looked at it. I asked him to watch the Tevin and Kash, and therefore, or just to push it around, and therefore I never became the owner of that Tevin and Kash, and therefore I don't really owe the worker any money, and therefore I could say Tomasha Sisa, and therefore I could say Tomasha Sisa Beskarka. Says the Gemara, you're explaining that the Bryce is speaking about a case where the worker never picked up this Tevin HaKash from Hefker. And since the worker never picked up the Tevin HaKash, then that's why it never became mine. And therefore, my obligation to the worker is much more limited. But says the Gemara, this question of just looking at Hefker, is that a way of obtaining ownership, is actually a question. Because Amar Rabba, Hefker, Behefker, if looking at Hefker makes you the owner of it, Tanaihi is actually the subject of Machlok Tanaim, the Tanan. The Mishnah, Masechta Shkolim, tells us that we know every year on Pesach, they brought a carbon omer. On Shavuos, they brought Shtei Alechem from the new grain, from the Chodosh. Now the question is, they brought new grain on Pesach. We're allowed to start using the grain that was that plant only planted after last year Pesach. On Shavuos, we're allowed to use it in the Beis Hamikdash. On Pesach, they brought a carbon omer. On Shavuos, they brought Shtei Alechem. But we have an issue in the Shemitah year. In the Shemitah year, you can't work the field. But on the other hand, they had fields that were designated. That fields that were designated for the purpose of bringing the barley for the carbon omer, the wheat for the shtei lechem. And therefore, the people who work in those fields, to guard them. The halacha is noitn schar mitrumas halishkin to get their salary from the trumas halishkin. Rabbi Yosema haroitza, if somebody wants misnadafu, he can make a donation. V'shayim echinim amrloi, and he could work for no pay. Amrloi, which the Chum said to Rabbi Yosi at the oimekain, if that's the case that these people are working, then the halacha is ain bon mishal tzibur. It means it's coming from the private, from their private, and the halacha is you can't use the. This is a carbon tzibur. It has to come from carbon tzibur funds. So the question, of course, is how can we appoint shomrim to watch produce during the Shemitah year? The halacha is we can't work on the fields during the Shemitah field. So the Shita answers that this halacha that you can't watch Shemitah produce, we're not working with the produce, we're just watching it, is only a din de Rabbanon. And in this, when it comes to the Hegdish, for the Kabbanas, the Rabbanon didn't make their rule. Another explanation he gives is that then, even if we're saying Mishumar is an Issa Deraisa, Mishumar being an Issa Deraisa is only for Chulin, not for Kachin. Another explanation that Tosfos Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that that the Shmira that's Usur is that from not letting people touch it. Here, the Shmira was only that animals shouldn't come close. That type of Shmira is Mutter. But the Teretz that most Rishonim suggest is when the Mishnah says here that these people were Shomrim, they weren't actually Shomrim in the traditional sense of Shomrim. What they were doing was that if somebody approached to take this barley or this wheat, which of course the halacha is in the Shemitah year, you could take from anything because everything is hefker, they notify them, please be advised that this produce is being put away for the Shemitah, is being put away for the carbon. And by telling most people, just notifying that, that will be enough that they should, of course, now want to touch it. And that's what's meant by being a shomer. It's not that they're actually physically telling somebody, you need to stay away. So says the Gemara, how do we understand this machlokes? My lab aklofki. Tanakab sover, habata behefka kani, that just looking at hefker becomes yours. And therefore, iavle agra, if the tzibur will pay the shomrim, it's considered the tzibur's. Eloi, it becomes the property to the shomrim because they took ownership by looking at it. Rabbi Yosef sover, habata behefka lekani, just looking at hefka is not enough. Only when they're actually picked up does it become somebody's when it's hefker. And therefore, when they're brought, hashtub zachiba, only then does it become somebody's property. And therefore, there is no concern that the shomrim who were working for free became the owners of that. Ask the Gemara, so if that's the way we're understanding the machlokes, so what's the contention the Chacham said to the Rabbi Yossi, Ma ata oimer, what's the understanding when they said ata oimer in Boy Mishal Tzibur? Says the Gemara Hakamrei, Midverech ledvareinu, according to the way you're explaining what happened, according to our opinion, that looking at something is enough to make ownership in Hefker, then we'll have a problem, according to our opinion, that as soon as the Shomrim, if they're not getting paid, are going to take ownership by looking at it, then we'll have a problem that Ein Oymer Shtei Melachim will become, the Oymer Shtei Melachim will not come from the Tzibur. The Meshech Chachma says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Sona Einecha, Re'ei Men HaMokim Shat HaSham, Kis Kol Arts HaShat HaRoy L'cho At Nenu L'Zarecha, Kum Hishalach Baruch L'Arach V'Arach Ba. So he explains that the Knanim who were in Eretz Yisrael, they captured Eretz Yisrael, and since they had captured Eretz Yisrael, they had a kinyan peiros, that everything that grew in Eretz Yisrael was theirs. But they did not have a kinyan aguf. And that ownership, which was therefore a much weaker ownership, that Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, his kolarts ashataroya. Habata, just looking what was enough. But regarding the Kenyan Paris that they had in Eretz Yisrael, so that was a much stronger level of ownership that they had in Eretz Yisrael. To take ownership of that part of their ownership, for that, says the Gemara, says the Pasuk, says the Mashal Chachma, kum, it's alech baritz, you have to actually make a much stronger form of Kenyan. Amar Rava, to says the Gemara, loy. That's not the way we necessarily have to explain. And the Gemara says, the Kulama about the Hefker Kani, everybody's going to agree that just looking at Hefker gives you ownership. So what happens if the Shomer volunteered to not get paid, just to donate his time and his effort to taking care of this produce? So we have an issue that it becomes his. Because as soon as it looks at it, as we're learning now, it becomes his. If it becomes his at that moment, what, and we know, as we said a few moments ago, that this is a carbon tzibur, and since it's a carbon tzibur, it has to come from the tzibur, the shomer has to give it over to the tzibur. So suggests the Gemara that that's actually the subject of the machlokes here. For Hochop, the concern here is Chashina Shemala Yimsa Yafi Yafkamifki. The concern is, will he really turn it over properly to the Tzibur? Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan's opinion is Yavle Agra, pay them. Viloi, because if we will not pay them, Chashinon, we need to be concerned. Shema La Yimsrim Yafi Yafa. Maybe they won't give it over properly and it won't become the Tzibur's. Rav Yosef Sover, Loi Chashina, would not feel concerned from that. Loi Chashina, Shem, Loi Yimsru, Yafa, Yafa. So ask the Gemara, what's Pshat and what the Chum said to Rav Yosef? Ma ta Oimer? How do we understand it? Hoch Kamalei, Midverecha, Lidverecha, Lidverenu. From what you're suggesting, we should have free Shomrim. According to our opinion, the Chashin and Shem Allah Yimsrim Yafa Yafa, that we're concerned that they won't give it over properly. The halach is, if we apply our concerns to your psak, then we'll have a situation where the Eina Oimer Shtei Lechem will come from the Tzibur. Ikadamri, Rav Amma, Rav says the Kulam about the Hefka Leikana. Everybody will agree that just looking at Hefka doesn't give you ownership. There's a whole new consideration. The Kanas Tam Mesava, the Kinner Abana Lemesavle, the Tanakama said we should give them pay, Arbazuza, Kehecha Delishme Balazroyas, that the people who take property from others by force will hear that this property belongs to Hegdish, because Hegdish is paying workers to protect this property, and they have the respect for Hegdish, and therefore Lifra Shemanayu, that they won't touch this produce. Rabbi Yossi Sava, Loi Takinu, we're not concerned about that. Says the Gemara, according to this understanding, what is the definition of Ma'at Oimer? Says the Gemara, Hakam Medvrechelo Dereinu, according from the way you say what should be done, and we apply our concern that they're not going to do it properly. Therefore, we're going to have a problem. Ain by Mishum Tzibur, we're not going to have anything to bring. The Kenki Asa Ravan, Om Rav Yochanan, the basis of the Machloikis is if Choshin Lebal Yisroyus, are we concerned about the Baal Yisroyus, about that happening? It says the Mishnah, Moshe Zevel of Shus Rabim, if somebody carries out fertilizer through Shus Rabim, and the halacha is that he can't leave it there, because of course somebody could get hurt. Hamoitzi, moitzi, take it out. Vamezabel, mezabel, to right away use it for fertilizer. And according to this explanation, says the Nemuka Yosef, you're not allowed to take it out in a time where you're not going to use it. Only in a time where it's going to be used, then. And not be, it may not, then you could take it out and people will take it. Otherwise, it should not be taken out. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, if somebody says, well, I want to just clear my property, that doesn't give you a right to take it out for that purpose. Says the says the Mishnah, ain't sharon tit b'shus rabim. You're not allowed to make cement in the shus rabim. Vein loiv veinim. You're not allowed to make bricks in the shus rabim. Avagoyvel and tit b'shus rabim. We can make cement to the shus rabim if we need it to put into a building immediately. Avaloy leveinim. Cement that I'm going to use immediately, I may do. Bricks, I may never do. Says the Mishnah, Bonim b'shus rabim. If somebody is building in the shus rabim, maybe avonim. So if you need the stones, of course you need the stones. But what the halacha requires is maybe you should bring them, b'bayna, and right away build them. And hizik, moreover, if while they were in shus rabim, they did damage, b'shal mash hizik, you shall be held responsible. If somebody needs to build, he can prepare the stones 30 days before he begins to build, and that's considered acceptable. And the way the Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky explains the opinion of Tanna Kamma is that even though we have a right to do what we have to do, that doesn't give us a right to cause any damage. And if we cause damage, we shall be held responsible. Says the Gemara Lema, Masnisa like Rabbi Yehuda. So suggests the Gemara, our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The time of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shas Tzvol Zvolim, in the time where people take out their Zevel, other Moshe Zevel or Shus Rabim, a person has a right to take out the Zevel to Shus Rabim, V'tzoyver Kosh Shloshim Yoyim, and he could pile it up there for 30 days, K'day Shiyinushif, Baragli Odom Baragli Behema, because it's good for the Sevel to be trampled on. And says the Gemara, Shemanas Kain, Hinchel Yeshua Yisrael's Arts. That was Yeshua's intention when he gave Klai Yisrael at Yisrael, that this was one of the rules that he instituted for the public welfare. Afil, says the Gemara, so Amish, it says you can't leave it there. Answers my filotem Rabbi Yehuda. We could say our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Moida Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even though you have a right to take it out, but if you take it out, chayav l'shala, and does damage, you shall be held responsible. Ask the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Bekama Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis that if somebody put his Chanukah menorah outside, and then somebody walked with a camel and carrying linen, whatever, and it got burnt, you're not responsible. My love doesn't mean Rishus Bezdin. And since when there's Rishus Bezdin, the halacha is that you're allowed to do what you want. There it's a special reason, Rishus the mitzvah, because that's the way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. And as the Rashba explains, the mitzvah of menorah is supposed to be done outdoors. And since the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is supposed to be done outdoors, therefore, if you did what you were supposed to do, you cannot be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say, there's a brice that clearly indicates, call Elish Amar Matarim Lekalkim Shus Rabim, that whatever you're allowed to take that could cause damage in the Shus Rabim, the halacha is Chizik Chayav L'Shalom. And here it says, Rabbi Yehuda Poiter in all situations, says the Gemara, Ela Machvato, we must say, the Masnis and the like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Bai, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Kula Sfirli, the Kom Mokim Shnos L'Chacham Rishus, if ever Chazal gave Rishus for a person to do something, the Chizik, and the person followed the instruction and did what he did and it caused damage, Potter. Rabbi Yehuda Adamaran, the case of our Mishnah, with whether it's Neiris Chanukah or whether it's the Zevel. Rav Shim Gamliel, the Tanner of Shim Gamliel Eimer, Af Mesaknes Malachdol Fnei Shloshim Yom, we learned at the end of the Mishnah that he says that you're allowed to prepare the stone 30 days before you build, even though they could cause damage. And you won't be responsible for those damages. Or Shimon, the Tanan, Hayamidai Betaner, Bali, if you somebody put a furnace upstairs, Tzorach Shei Tachtov, on the upper floor, that has to be under that furnace, Maziva, ceiling floor, that's at least 3 tefachim thick. Bekira, which is a smaller oven, Tefach. From Hizik, Mishal Mishezek. But even though you did what you were supposed to do, the halacha is that you're going to be held responsible if it does damage. If you follow the rules, Elishim Hizik, Potomal Shalom. Tarabonin, Hachatzif. If somebody who takes the stones out of the mountains, Shemosser Lekatmasis, he gave it over to the person who chisels the stones. And then, as it's being chiseled, it does damage. So the Sasif is Chayiv. Hasasa Shemosser Lechamor. Once the person who chisels it gives it to the person who's going to transport it, and while it's being transported, it does damage. So Hacham Chayiv, the transporter is Chayiv. Hacham Shemosser Lekatif. If the Chamor gave it to the person who is standing and putting it on the wall, Hakat, and does damage, then the Katif Chayiv. Hakatif Shemosser Lebanoi, the person who firmly puts it in its right place, then the Benoi Chayiv. Habenoi Shemosser Adriko, that after it's put in its place, he works on making it firm and proper. Adrikel chayiv. V'niach even al dem dimus. If the entire job was done, v'zika, and then the stone falls down and does damage, kulan chayavim l'shalim. Because there's no one person that we could attribute this to. It's a joint effort of all of them. And since if there's a joint effort by all of them, they're all going to be held responsible together. But ask the Gemara of Atanya, didn't the Brisa say that in such a situation, Achron Chayiv, only the last person is Chayiv Akul and Paturim? And it's the Gemara like Kasha, Kambeschiris, when everybody was working for his job, so as soon as he finishes his job, he's finished. And if as soon as he finishes his job, he's finished, he doesn't have any more responsibility. Kamba Kablonis, but if they're all working together as one firm, just everybody has a different job in that firm, then the halacha will be, if something happens, they will, after the job is done, they're all going to be jointly held responsible.